can't ask from a legal operations to review your contracts. This is not their work. This is not their role. They are not here for this. And I will take advantage of your podcast, Tessa, to just raise awareness about this issue, because I saw lots of job descriptions mentioning legal operations in the title. But when you read the job description and when you read the roles and responsibilities, it's not legal operations. It's either a pure paralegal work, a legal assistant work, an in-house counsel work, or a contract management work. And you never can't. And this is like a mistake.
Welcome to the Legal Creatives Podcast, where we'll be bringing you the greatest and the most inspirational concepts and projects and discuss some of the most powerful ideas for the transformation of the legal industry. This podcast is brought to you by Legal Creatives, the school for the transformation of legal services. Welcome to the show.
Welcome back to the show. Today we have a special guest, all the way from Canada, tuning in to share with you about legal operations and legal design. So great to have you today on the show. Sarah Ashmi is coming to share about her insights, practical experience, and also career transition from legal to legal ops. So thanks so much, Sarah, for being on the show.
Hey, Tessa. Thank you so much for having me today. I think legal operations are still not new, but an emerging industry, and not everyone is really understanding like all the elements of this function. So of course, my work is helping the legal departments to operate with more efficiency, with more profitability, with more performance, to better, of course, help the business. Legal ops is a bunch of business operations practice techniques. For example, strategic planning, financial management, vendor management, project management, technology implementation. It's from clock, they are 12. So, and they are like business practice areas that we can adapt and we can apply in the legal department operations, not all at the same time, but depending on the department priorities and needs. So I just want to insist on this specific information, because sometimes people think that you should know all and you should master all the legal ops practice areas. No, we can find some legal ops professionals who master the financial management, for example, to better manage the law firms and the law firms' invoices and the budget and everything. And we can find another legal ops professionals who are more specialized in legal technology. So it depends. Like, you have a global legal ops team supporting a legal department. They may be different specialists within this industry.
Well, that's really insightful to know that there are 12 areas that the legal ops specialists can cover, and then they can specialize in different aspects. And I think we would all love to know a little bit about this transition before we dive more into the specifics of legal ops and also legal design. So let me ask you, Sarah, what motivated you to make that transition from legal to legal ops? And what got you interested, and what are the things that drew you to this exciting field of practice?
Yeah, thank you. This is the question I get all the time. And everything came by chance. When I say by chance, like, all my experiences in all my career experience is a series of coincidences. Because when I was in my home country, Morocco, I was practicing as in-house counsel. And then I moved to Canada with no idea what I can do with my career. And I remember I came 3 months before the pandemic, and I spent the whole pandemic time in the requalification process, like the national requalification process that allow the international trained lawyers like you and me to practice, to get qualified and to practice law in their province of their choice. I decided to initiate this process. It took me 2 years to finally understand that practicing law in Canada, like pursuing the practice of law in Canada, is not something I want to do anymore. Like, I just don't want to continue being a lawyer even in Canada, especially that the process is so overwhelming, so long, so exhausting, expensive. And again, another chance is that one day I was in LinkedIn and I saw a network member of mine who reacted to another LinkedIn network member of theirs who got your certification, legal design certification program. It was just by chance. And I said, what's this? Like, legal design, what's this? And I decided to take it, like, just by curiosity, I decided to take it and see how it can help me, especially that I was just fresh new immigrant to Canada. And it was so eye-opening because I learned that it's not only a traditional way of practicing law, of being a legal professional, but there is some alternative legal careers that exist in the legal industry, and it started like to change my mind about the requalification process. And because I had to relocate from Toronto to Ottawa, I had to change my job, and this is when, like in French, we call it the déclic, le déclic. This is when I decided to stop, like, the requalification process. I don't want to become a lawyer in Canada, and I want to pursue something that is aligned with my skills, with my profile, with my interests. Because when I saw how legal design worked, and I saw, like, my peers, they were like legal technologists, legal project managers, and I was, oh my God, what's this? Like, I didn't even know the existence of these kind of positions. I was so interested in the way the legal department is operating. I was not interested in the legal work, in the legal advice, in the legal research, in the legal opinion. No, the contracts review and contract, like the pure legal work. No, this doesn't speak to me. But the way the legal department is operating and is running, this is, yes, this is something like I love this. Each time I was just analyzing the processes, the operations, the hierarchy and everything. So the legal operations, when I saw it and I just read the job description, I was, wow, this is something I really want to do. This is how I applied, and this is how I realized the existence of legal operations industry, because I didn't know the existence of it before. And I just found out it's my element. This is something I was looking for it, but I didn't know it exists.
Now, I love your story and I can relate so much because I went through that process coming from France to Canada, and I can relate so much. However, at the time, there was very little knowledge around those new professions, right? And so I remember we had a chat about this, and I'm so happy you made that decision. And I think it's so fantastic you decided to trust your gut and go with what you really love to do, and also with your skills and knowledge. And so in this transition, I'm sure you took many steps. I think you already mentioned that you relocated. Was there anything that you also took the program with us, and that was so great to have you there?
Yes.
Was there anything, any other steps or decision that you made in addition to those? There's already a lot you mentioned.
I did a lot of research just as a benchmarking, you know, just to know how I can position myself, especially when I learned during one of your webinar, I remember, with the legal project manager from Spain. Yeah, when I heard this, I was, wow, what's this? I was like, wow, what's this? Like, and I didn't know, like, there is something called legal project management. I didn't know there is something called legal process improvement, you know? So we took some sensitive and important business operations techniques and adapt them to the legal industry. This is very new for me because I'm not familiar with the business world, and I just started to see if there is any additional certification I can take to help like to improve my profile or my skills, to upgrade my skills. And I remember I was so lost. I remember I said to my husband one day, I told him, should I take both of legal project management and legal process improvement certifications and legal project you know, I was so lost. And I am someone like who is living with the flow. And you know, I don't insist too much, even if I'm lost, even if I'm overwhelmed. But I remember I did a lot of research, and I remember the one thing that I did well is that I just trusted my guts and said, okay, what is the end goal? You're going to be a lawyer in maybe 5-6 years, because I was stuck and I was blocked in the university admission step. So before even starting doing anything, I was already blocked. I was already stuck. And I see like 2 years, I spent 2 years in this like circle. And I just one day before coming to Ottawa, I remember it was in December, I just asked myself, okay, at the end, are you gonna enjoy performing legal work? No. Okay, bye. You have to stop all this. I think this is very important, and it just took me too long to realize it. Yeah. But these are very like two important things I remember I did, and that helped me just like create this path, you know, or prepare the ground, the field.
Yes, how, no, I love it. And it's so true. I think the fact that legal ops, legal design, legal technology are still not mainstream, it's still not very much known. It can slow down the process of making the decision simply because we don't have many examples of people around us. So we don't know if it's going to work well. Yes. But if you know there's something you don't want to do anymore, then that's already a good sign to make the space for the new. So I always say that even if you don't know what you want, just knowing what you don't want is already a great start, because you're making space for the new by not being... by not being afraid to let go of the old.
Yes, and so you're completely right. And I think this is wise words, because it's very important. If you don't know what you want, at least know what you don't want. At least, and this is what I did. This is each time I find myself lost and just overwhelmed, I just ask myself this: okay, do you want it? No, that you have the answer.
And today, you're working as legal ops specialist in a really large organization. Tell us a little bit about the impact that legal ops has, your role has in the organization, and the kind of projects you're working on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for this question. I see my role as a strategic function, you know. Why? Because by definition, legal operations allow legal departments to operate, as I said, more effectively and efficiently by applying multiple business operations depending on the priorities and the needs and pain points. And the one thing I really enjoy about my position is that you have the core legal work, and you have the core legal department work, and you have the organizational department work. And this the ladder is my field. So anytime we have a process in within the organization where legal is involved, I am automatically involved. Each time there is a communication, for example, or a guideline or a policy or something like some important those kind of documents that define the way of doing and the way of working, and that's where legal is involved. I am involved in this as well. So I see my position very, very centric and very strategic. And overall, the legal operations function helps the legal department to keep, to stay and to remain aligned with the business objectives. And this is very important because if you like, you may have already heard this. Is, for example, legal department is not aligned with the business, legal department doesn't help the business well, legal department is the department of no, legal department is slow. So all these problems, I think, that be resolved by legal operations.
Tell us a little bit about the main differences between legal ops and legal design, in your opinion, and also in your experience as well.
Yes, thank you. It's a very good question. And I am trained in legal design, and I practiced legal design, just even if it's for a very short time. But after I jumped onto legal ops, so I kept this legal design mindset while practicing legal operations and adopting again the legal operations mindset. So I see the differences, I see the similarities, and I see where I can use the first one when I can't use the second one. You know what I mean? And of course, it's just my personal opinion, and maybe the legal design experts who practice like in detail and more in depth legal design methods will have more insights than me. But again, it's just from my humble experience, as we say. But the main differences for me are the first one is the legal operations is specific. Why? Because it is applicable to the operations of a legal department or a law firm. I need to see some law firms adopting and implementing the legal operations function within their teams to improve their own operations and not the operations of their legal department clients. While legal design, I personally see it from the certification, from my readings, from my practice, legal design is more global. Legal design is applicable to all parts of the legal industry and the legal system. You know, we can apply legal design to the courts, you know, the documents of the courts and something. Legal ops is corporate, is the organization. You know what I mean? The second difference, legal operations is applying, as I mentioned before, business operations techniques. I say that from clock or according to clock, there are 12 legal ops practice areas. While legal design is applying design techniques method. So yeah, this is the second main difference in my eye. The third one, and I will stop at the fourth. The third one is the end goals. The end goals, legal op, like the end goals of legal operations is that legal operations work for the efficiency, the optimization, the streamlining, the performance, the profitability, the productivity, while legal design is working for the accessibility, the usability, the facilitation, and the engagement of the solution towards the user, the end user. And the fourth difference is from the client served standpoint. The client, you know, the legal operations is serving the client, who is the legal department. And the end user gonna be the business, because we are helping the legal operations to better to run like a business, to help the business. And the legal design is serving everyone, all kind of users. They can be organization, they can be team, they can be individual, they, you know, everyone. So these are the main differences I personally see between legal ops and legal design.
Yeah, very insightful. I love it, Sarah, especially the fact that you really make that distinction around business-oriented, human or user-oriented. For those who don't know, legal design is really focused on
user experience,
usability. That means the ease of use of the tools, the systems, the documentations.
Yes,
and
100%.
Legal ops, as you have said very nicely, is really taking care of making legal centered on the needs of the business. But what's interesting is, as you have said, the business function is your user in a way. And so are there similarities that you can identify?
The similarities is that first, both are new, relatively new. Of course, they are not new, but they just we started to democratize and talk a lot about legal design and legal ops today. So this is why I say relatively new, even though they are not new in terms of time. Second, they are helping. They are tools. They are supportive tools. I see them as a supportive tools, helping legal professionals do better their work.
Let me ask you, Sarah, what do you mean define do better legal work?
Yeah, they in an innovative way, in a more efficient way, in a more straightforward way, without confusion, without making the clients overwhelmed, because we all know today that legal is something like no one understands, you know. So legalese, we have a similar mindset, and I think this is coming from our way of education. Because we were like in a square of legal, and nothing else than legal. And I'm so happy to see that things started to change now, because we can see some universities and some schools and some law schools starting to offer business courses, in-house skills courses, and internships. I remember in Santa Clara University, if I remember, and even legal design, like the trend is there. The trend is that legal professionals, I'm not talking about lawyers, I'm talking about legal professionals as a whole. Legal professionals of the future won't master only legal skills. They will be invited and required to have more than legal skills. This is very important, and this is a very good thing. And the third similarity, this one I want to share this with you, because again, it allow us to do a lot of reflection about this. Is legal ops and legal design are both of them are solving problems tools. You go to a legal ops to solve your problem. You go to solve a problem, a specific problem. You go to legal design, you seek the help of legal design to solve a specific problem in your practice or in your work. So these are the main three similarities I see.
Hey, it's Tessa. Just a quick pause to let you know that if you like this episode, I have no doubt you're also going to love our blog filled with insightful articles, practical strategies, techniques, and tips
that you can use right away in your practice, whether you would like to infuse legal design or leverage legal ops or integrate legal tech. The Legal Creatives blog is going to give you some really good pieces of advice to help you on this journey towards innovation. So again, feel free to check the Legal Creatives blog to find additional articles, interviews, and reviews.
And so given they have differences and similarities, can we combine legal ops and legal design? How can we combine it? When is it more appropriate to use them together?
Yes, this is a very good question because I think it created some frustration during my contents, legal ops versus legal design, because people from the comments, they was thinking I am defending legal ops over legal design, which is not true. And thank you, Tessa, for giving me this opportunity that I will take. I will take this chance to maybe bring more clarification about this.
Yeah, this is why it's great to have a conversation.
Yeah, no, of course.
It's good, but conversations are even more helpful,
yes.
Right?
Yes, because I got a lot of comments from legal design experts defending legal design and that no, even legal design is doing this, Yeah, I am a legal design certified professional too. So I'm not defending or preferring one over the other. I just want to clarify things. Legal design and legal ops are two different things. And I personally don't like it when I see some folks confusing them, or when I see some folks saying that legal design is part of legal operations, you know, because especially in the current context, where, as you said, both of those industries are not well streamlined. And because we still don't have enough standard practices, I am afraid that the learning will go wrong. This is why I want to distinguish legal design from legal operations, because they are two different things. But again, one complements the other. And you're going to ask me which one is complementing the other. And I will tell you that legal design is complementing legal operations. From my experience, from my practice, I see that, and I will give you concrete examples from my practice. I see that first, legal ops gonna do his work or their work to solve a problem. And at the beginning, they may have the help, they may seek the help of legal design to understand the problem. And at the end, they will seek help from legal design to make the end solution more accessible, more usable?
More usable, yes. And hence easier to be adopted as well.
Yes, and adopted and accessible, yes. And that they are two different things now. I'm upset, really, this is the term. Sometimes I'm just upset and afraid when I see some people talking about legal design as a part of legal ops or legal ops as a part of legal design, or the new version of the legal professional or the lawyer should know legal ops and legal design. You know what I mean? There is too much confusion about this that I personally don't agree with. And I think we just need to clarify things. But legal design complements legal ops.
Yes, I love that. So legal design is great initiating a project to understand the users and their needs, and also at the end of the project in legal ops to ensure the most successful implementation, again, working with users and having legal ops in between doing the heavy lifting work of based on the business procedure and business strategies as well. And what about now that we have covered the similarities, we have discussed the differences, when legal ops is most useful? In other words, what are the problems that legal ops solves that legal design does not cover?
Yeah, it's a tricky question.
I know.
It's a tricky question. And that's
if
a very
you want,
good
we can
question.
Skip it. I don't know.
No, why I will skip it. No, of course. It's also important. Maybe it's like I see it as an important question because maybe even the audience will reflect about it, you know? And then no, I'm very happy with this question. From my experience, I don't see there are some issues that legal ops solves and that legal design does not. It's just a matter of focus and practice areas. You can't seek help from a legal designer to build a strategic plan for your legal department. You know what I mean? Because building a strategic plan for your legal department requires some strategic planning skills, like business techniques that are very detailed. You know, while legal design, he's gonna help you building a better strategic plan by understanding the problem maybe, and by understanding because the legal strategic plan. Gonna be used by the legal team, gonna be checked by other internal teams. And maybe in this point, like as I said, at the end, maybe a legal designer gonna help you make this strategic plan, this final deliverable more usable, more accessible, and more understandable by the end user. This is why I see, again, they are the legal design complements legal ops. It's just a matter of focus. It's really just a matter of focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. It's different perspectives. Tackling very similar or same problems with different lenses, different approaches. Mm-hmm. And so I understand, does this all mean legal ops, legal design in terms of mindsets and methodologies? They're complementary, not necessarily exclusive. And I think this is another question. I just want to add that one.
Go ahead.
How do you know if who is best for legal ops? Who is the best profile for legal ops? Who's the best profile for legal design? If someone had to, you know, someone's listening is like, I like both. Which one would be the best for what would you recommend?
Yeah, it depends on their skills. Like it depends on the skills. Legal design, both of them are very fun. If you find yourself in one of them, you know, legal design. Both of them require patience. You know what I mean? Both of them, because it's about the plan. The plans are changing. The leadership may make up their mind overnight. So it requires a lot of
resiliency
patience.
As well, adaptation.
Yes. But if you are familiar, if you are comfortable with creativity, with creativity, we're taking time to come up with new things, with innovative solutions. I think legal design is made for you. If you want to work on several projects within the legal system, not only corporate organization legal department. If you find yourself more comfortable like me working within legal departments, because this is something I really enjoy, and if you have a business and strategic mindset, because since day one of my career, I was always thinking processes, Maybe I don't know if it's me or because my first experience was within a government with a lot of processes and hierarchy to respect. And I had to visualize all the processes, all the policies and, you know, the flow charts and everything. So this is something I each time I need to understand, okay, what is the process? What is the process? How we can go from A to B? So, and if you have like if you have this business mindset, I think legal operations is made for you.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I was going to say legal ops is very much focused on business and well operations as it says, and the design I think also for people who like the psychological aspect because there's lots
of because it's more about thinking. Yes.
Yeah.
And if you like Sarah and you also want to upskill in legal design, I can only recommend you join one of our online courses and programs, super hands-on boot camps where you get to learn, but also put into practice with guidance, with feedback, and with the community. The community is truly everything. Like Sarah said, she met incredible, phenomenal. So don't miss the chance to upskill in legal design using a platform. And if you'd rather have bespoke done for you, reach out. We are here to help you as your innovation partner in legal design.
And so is there one surprising thing that you discovered that you'd like to share with the audience?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one thing that I can like split on two. The first one is the existence of alternative legal careers. This is really something that was so eye-opening for me. And the like legal technologists, legal project managers, legal operations, legal chief of staff, you know. And the second one is, and maybe because this is like it was a matter of time. I don't know if it's because of the pandemic or just after the post-pandemic, but I see a kind of revolution in the legal industry that increased with the pandemic. The legal industry is shifting now. The practice of law gonna change like in an external way. When I'm talking about gonna change is like the way of practicing law and the way of performing some legal positions gonna change. I think I'm following this very closely, and this is something this is very surprising. This is very surprising. And if you don't mind, I want just to add that just as legal design and legal ops, there will be other important non-legal skills that will be required to legal professionals to have in the near future.
Yes. And so if you had one piece of advice to give to other legal professionals who are considering to make a transition to legal ops, what steps would you recommend they take to make the transition successful?
Yeah, thank you so much, Tessa, for this question that I tackled. I remember in one of my contents a few months ago, and I also wrote an article about this for Bright Flag. And this is a question I got often in DM from legal professionals, paralegals, former lawyers, former judges, even in their home countries. I would say that if a legal professional wants to make the move or the transition successful to legal operations, they should learn more, not in details, but they should have a clear idea about what is legal ops, how it is operating, how it is working, and what are the skills and the profiles required for this industry, and The second thing is that they should identify the states of legal operations in their region or country, because not all countries are enough developed in terms of legal ops practice. If you compare, for example, the United States with another country or region in the world, this is not the same state. This is not the same trend. And
where do you see that it's more advanced? The US, USA?
Yes, of course. Yes, in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York. In the United States, the legal ops practice is more developed and more legal ops positions. And we talk more about legal profession, yes. Legal ops more than, for example, in Canada. It's coming. The other thing I want to add is they start learning about legal ops. They try to join legal operations communities. There are CLOC, there are some, you know, that today I saw more legal tech companies who are developing community platforms where they gather legal professionals from all around the world, and they tackle legal and they address legal issues and different channels. For example, mm-hmm. you may have a channel for focused on legal operations, you may have another channel focused on in-house practice. This is very interesting. And another thing is they try to find a mentor. This is very important. They try to find a mentor that has the same paths, that have the same profile. So they will understand each other when they are speaking to each other. You know what I mean? For example, someone who was a lawyer and he wants to go to legal ops, I suggest to find a mentor who again has the same paths.
Yeah, and so if the audience resonates with you, would you be willing for them to reach out?
Yes, of course. I'm doing this. Yeah, of course. I'm doing this formally and informally. Formally with the NCA Network mentor program, and informally with everyone reaching out to me for guidance, for support, for meeting, for networking. I am very open for this. And one thing I want to add. One last thing I want to add. It's important to know your capabilities. You know. To know your competencies, to know your skills, and to make sure that your skills are aligned with what is required to practice legal operations. Because yes, it's new. Yes, it's trendy. Yes, it's fun, but it's not for everyone. You know, it may be an alternative for legal practice, but it's hard. Like, you know, yeah. Sometimes it's very hard. Like, it's not like just fun or as someone said one day on LinkedIn, they said it's not like a paralegal with a fancy title. And this is again, this is a heartbreaking truth, because I saw a lot of, and I will take advantage of your podcast, Tessa, to just raise awareness about this issue, because I saw lots of job descriptions mentioning legal operations in the title. But when you read the job description and when you read the roles and responsibilities, it's not legal operations. It's either a pure paralegal work, a legal assistant work, an in-house counsel work, or a contract management work. And mm-hmm. you never can't, and this is like a mistake, you can't ask from a legal operations to review your contracts. Mm-hmm. This is not their work. This is not their role. They are not this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is really great. Well, I look forward to reading more of your articles online. Congratulations for the latest one that was published with the Canadian Law Magazine, I believe. So
Yesterday. Yeah, this is my first huge win in the Canadian markets. And I'm looking forward I'm looking forward to other opportunities in the Canadian ground. Yes, I was able to make it in the UK and the US ground, but not yet in the Canadian.
It's coming. And so what if the audience would like to connect with you? What is the best way for them to reach out, Sarah?
Of course, they are so welcomed to reach out to me via LinkedIn. I'm so active on LinkedIn and so reactive.
So Sarah Ajmi on LinkedIn.
Yes.
And really wonderful to have this chat today, Sarah. Really
thank
loving
you so much.
To catch up and to see you grow and have fun as well in this new era. I think it's so important to enjoy the work that we do, you know. It takes such a big part of the day-to-day. Is a lot better when we enjoy it. So
yeah, right. Also, no, it's very important.
All right. So thank you so much, Sarah. And well, come back anytime to the show.
Of course. I'm looking forward for the final version of the podcast. And I am very happy to be here with you. Thank you for the invitation, Tessa. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to give us a follow on your favorite podcast platform and also to share this episode of the Legal Creatives Podcast with a friend or with a colleague, so that if they also have an interest in legal operations and how it can be combined with legal design, they can get to learn more by listening to Sarah's Ajmi interview on the Legal Creatives Podcast. Thank you so much once again for tuning in. I can't wait to hear your thoughts, ideas, opinions on who I should bring next into the show. So you can always reach out via legalcreatives.com. Until the next episode, stay creative and feel free to revisit one of the previous episodes for more interviews, real-life case studies, and insights.